I'm a psychologist, and I shouldn't discuss my client's affairs. But on this occasion, I will make an exception. As my former client, let's call her Natalia, encouraged me to share her story. Her case might offer comfort to those women, and why not men too, struggling with similar problems. Natalia herself came up with this suggestion during one of our sittings. Well, no. Let's correct that right away, so there's no misunderstanding. She did not sit. My habit of referring to these sessions as sittings dates back to a time when I still believed in solution-focused therapy. Back then, my clients and I would sit opposite each other in soft, comfortable armchairs. My own a shade of almond green, the client's Russian blue. We sank against the backrest, or if the situation required it, we leaned closer toward each other. Connected by our body language, we vigorously worked through a problem, be it of the classification F10-19.1, F43.2, or F50.2. Natalia was one of my first clients to lie on her back without prompting. When I showed her around my office, which I had rented in an apartment next to my house, I told her about the couch. It was on that couch that Natalia would lie down if she chose me as her therapist. If she decided that of all the psychotherapists in this city, I was the one best suited to help her. Qualifications were very important to Natalia. She didn't want to talk to any old shrink. She wanted a highly specialized professional. I was immediately enchanted by the way in which Natalia walked into my office. At our initial meeting, the client generally sits in the armchair, the Russian blue one, and allows their eyes to roam the space. They are cautious and confused, glancing surreptitiously at the couch, which I show them, and where, if all goes well, they will lie down next time, and the process will begin. The couch has no backrest or armrest, but I still call it a couch, because referring to it as a bed would irrevocably break something within my clients. And so, in their minds, they examine that couch, upholstered in terracotta orange, and they register the painting hanging above it. A few of them even correctly identify the artist. And at such moments, a flicker of joy flares within me, one that I nonetheless quickly suppress for reasons of professional ethics. How wonderful that I might soon begin working with a fellow art lover. But Natalia did not sit in the Russian blue armchair, which I offered her just as I offer it to every potential client. I don't force them, but I gesture toward the chair, slightly opening my hand as I do so. I nod in encouragement subtly, after which I leave them in peace for a moment. I turn my back for a few seconds to pick up my notepad from the small table next to the almond green armchair, an armchair that, like the Russian blue one, I had transferred over from my former office at the Maricano therapy house. But, as I have mentioned, Natalia did not sit in the armchair. She stepped into the room with a notable brashness and stood right on the stylized four-leaf medallion pattern in the middle of the Persian rug on the floor. When they first step into my office, my potential clients often appear shrunken, smaller than their real size. They don't know where to put their hands when they sit down, in their lap or on the armrest. They wait for me to steer the situation, to move things forward, which, after all, is my job, and something I do gladly. But Natalia was not shy. Rather, her first words were, "Until the mid-90s, that painting above the bed was in my grandmother's living room."